At this time, the recordings have been started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 6th of September. We have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tijani Benjema, Carlos Aguirre, John Rahman Khan, Sebastian Bachelet, Avery Doria, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Kurt Britz, Seth Green, Rob Hogarth, Glenda Saint-Géry, Carla Valente, and myself, Steve McGruber. Apologies noted today from Andrew Mack, Alex Gukuru, Dev Anand-Tiluksing, and Michaeli Nalon. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc has just joined us as well. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton and Rafik.
Good day, good morning, good evening, everybody. Welcome to this jazz call. Thank you so much for showing up. We are going to, today, for today's call, we are looking at the document and dealing with the comments starting from page 29 through the end of the report. We're also going to look at the executive summary that was rewritten based on comments that were taken aboard earlier on. I hope you are all happy with the development so far. I am going to ask your indulgence here. What we're going to do is that we're going to ask Rob and Seth to see, they have been tracking the comments closely, to just walk through with each comment, and then we will invite comments from the members to clarify. Please understand this is a final set that we're going to deal with, and so please keep it tight, and where you have outstanding disagreement with what is ready here, please be willing to provide alternate text that either clarifies the situation, but certainly we don't want to introduce any new options at this point. We just need to clarify. So again, this is about clarification and making the readability, improving the readability of the report. It's not about going back over stuff that's long been decided. That said, Tijani Benjema has provided alternate text for the support eligibility requirements section. And if you look at Tijani's comparative, if you do a comparison between the latest version and what Tijani has proposed, you will see it has lengthened considerably. I will ask Tijani to, first of all, I'm asking all of you to look at what Tijani has proposed and make the following determination. One, does it change the substance of the report? And two, does it provide points of departure for clarity? Clarity, I say. If you agree with that, then we will move along with it. But I'm going to ask Tijani to begin, since this is a very important part of it, by just telling us a little background of what he's proposing here. Tijani, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Carlton. So I sent an alternative text. In fact, it is not exactly an alternative text. It's more or less the same text, but arranged in another way so that it will be more clear. Because we were proposing criteria, and then we give explanation of the criteria afterward. So if we integrate the explanation inside the inside the mention of the criteria at the beginning, it will be more clear, I think so. If you want it to be split, in this case we have only to speak about the title of each criteria and then give the explanation afterward. So there is two ways to deal with. I propose to integrate the explanation inside the criteria itself. If you want it to be split, so we can do it in this way, it will be more clear in my view. Second point, it is the first thing I did. Second point, in my proposal, I changed the text and the sense and the direction of what was discussed last call about the bundling. So I modified it so that it reflects the point of view raised last call. Last thing I did is that I followed up on Alan Greenberg remark about the objective criteria, and I inserted more or less his proposal to introduce the objective criteria, the notion of objective criteria, and to say how we will get them those criteria. He proposed that we propose that the working group together with the SARP define those criteria before the evaluation. So I wrote it like this, and I mentioned clearly the mixture between the objective and subjective criteria in the evaluation. This is more or less what I proposed.
Thank you, Tijani. Are there any comments from Tijani's draft and his explanation for the draft? By the way, what has been referenced here is starting at paragraph 67. Yes, Alan, you have the floor, so you're on the board.
Yeah, I just want clarification on exactly what we're talking about. Jenny sent out a document, I think, last Friday, which had a number of the items in it with some yellow highlighting. Is that the document we're talking about, or is there something else?
That is the document.
Okay, so do we have a red line to see exactly what he replaced, what he changed?
No. No, I put it in a clean Word format. So
okay, so we need to sort of hold the two side by side and
yes.
Try to figure out what the changes
yes.
are.
Do you know why, Alan? Because it was a big change, a big moving of paragraphs from a place to another place. So it is difficult to do it in a red line.
Thank you.
But just to ask the question, are we clear that members need to satisfy themselves, first of all, that the substantive issues have not been changed in any way that would reflect something that is not existing or comments? What Tijani has done is to reorder the content so that the explanation that followed in the subsequent paragraphs for the support eligibility criteria is weaved into the document as soon as you mention each criteria. Avery? You have the floor.
Thanks. I have one question for Tijani. I see that most of this is rearranged text. I'm wondering if from his number he could tell us which paragraphs had any new content in it. I mean, I've glanced through it. I see now why it's hard to do a comparison because it is just an excerpt from that section. So I'm wondering, though, Tijani, if you could tell us which of the paragraphs you believe, and also, I guess I'd like to ask Seth and Rob, who have been working with the text, if they had a chance to read it, and if they can point out to us any places where they think, you know, as the pen holders, that there is something that should be looked at as a substantive change. In general, I like the organization. So, I mean, I tend to be in favor. I just do want to make sure that anything that is new content is flagged so that we can take a direct look at that thing.
Okay. Concerning the content, Avery, I told you what I have changed.
I'm looking for the numbers, if you could.
Ah, numbers.
Yeah, to support that, I'd like sort of to go through it paragraph by sound, go through it paragraph by paragraph and say, this is really just a rearranged, or, you know, 67B sub-bullet 1 is a new, is changed to go along with what Alan said, or something like that.
Okay.
I'm having trouble assimilating 3.5 pages and just saying, yes, it's okay.
Okay, no problem. So, moment. I have to compare the two texts.
Oh, okay.
Moment. It will be done.
I like it.
Try to find, okay, non-financial support, okay.
Made a note in 69B, a question to Rob.
Okay, paragraph 71 was included in paragraph 67.
67A.
A, yes. A, excuse me, you're right. 72 is included in 67B. No, 72, 73, 74, 75 are included in 67B. Okay, moment. Seventy-six. Is included in C. Seventy-seven is included in D. No, excuse me. No, not in D. In E. Yes, is included in E. So it is 77 and 78, which is included in E. Okay? So now, 79 is included in 68A. And 68 in general, because the financial need was together, all together. Okay? The paragraph ineligibility criteria didn't change. It is now 69. This is for the arrangement.
You 69, Tijani, didn't you?
Yes.
Isn't there something there change in B?
No.
69B.
Moment. Governmental I didn't change it.
Okay.
No, I didn't change it.
I might be looking at something else then.
Yeah. you do have the question, Rob, do you think my end of first sentence in this par is acceptable compared to last draft, please?
Well, that's the next question to Rob. Rob, in your view, does this improve? Can you go? Because there are a couple of things, Rob, that would have to change. You notice that there was some reference, recurring pointers to paragraphs, paragraph numbers. So we'll have to shift those in the text.
Yeah, that's correct, Carlton. I mean, I think this is a faithful reordering of the existing paragraphs. All that's been purged are a couple of the comments that we need to make sure that we capture. I think the Rob part that you're looking at or reading was an internal note in the draft from Seth to me. I'm not sure if that's I'm not sure that's Tijani's note.
Oh, that's your note.
We can confirm, Seth, that was your note, correct? That was not, that's not, yeah.
Yes, that's my note. You don't have to worry about that. We can handle that ourselves.
The critical element is Tijani's.
One minute.
Reordering, I think.
Avery has her hand up. Can we hear from Avery?
Yeah, I was just going to say that having read through it and having listened to Tijani, I think it's a faithful reconstruction, as Rob says, and I think it's well-ordered, and I have no objection to it taking the place of what was there. I just wanted to get that said. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery.
May I speak, Carlton? Okay.
Yes, Tijani, go ahead, would you?
Just to tell you that you're right. For 69, I notice now that it is different from the original text. I think that it was changed after I did this proposal. So it is not exactly what is in the paragraph 81.
That's what I thought, but
yes, you're right. I am sorry, but I didn't.
Well, I don't think it changed the sense of what it says at all. I just want to make sure people understood that there's a slight change between what you did and what's there now.
Yes, but I didn't intend to change it. Paragraph 81.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Tijani. Alan, you have the floor, sir.
Yeah, two things. One is when Tijani gave his first summary, he made reference to trying to put in words something I had suggested, and I think that's now showing up in 68D.
D?
D as in dog.
Uh-huh.
The upper thresholds to demonstrate the need should also be defined to avoid giving support to rich applicants. This is to be defined by the Jazz Working Group, together with the SARP in the implementation phase. I don't think I ever said quite that. I certainly said it has to include ICANN staff. And, you know, I think if we're going to be able to get objective things early enough to tell people what they are ahead of time, and that's mandatory, if you're going to subject people to objective criteria, you have to tell them what it is. I think we're going to need outside help. And so saying it's just the working group and the SARP says it's all external people, and I think staff has to be involved in that process.
Okay, so Alan...
But I believe they need to be involved.
Alan, let me get to the chase here. You're saying that it doesn't say exactly what you say, but you're saying that... If you want to capture what you said, would you be willing to provide the exact terminology that you used?
I'm saying we need the phrase ICANN staff. It has to be one of the parties involved in that.
Okay, I understand. Perhaps I didn't get very good your point. So you need the staff and external help, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, maybe the right people are already there on the SARP and external, but you know, I think the SARP is not going to be created until very late in the process. So giving the responsibility to the SARP, I think, is putting the cart before the horse.
Okay. So you want to say the Jazz Work Group and ICANN staff.
And staff along with outside experts.
Along with outside experts.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
So that's what you want to say in that final sentence.
That's correct.
Indeed.
And I have one other point that I want to raise, but...
Can we just fix this one first, Alan, please?
Yes, I said. That's what I just said.
Yeah. Does anybody object to Alan's suggestion here?
Carlton, could you read it back, please? This is Rob.
And 68D, Rob. Thank you for keeping us honest here. Alan has suggested, and we're asking for confirmation from everybody, that the sentence should include content that says jazz work group and ICANN staff together with the SARP.
No, I'm suggesting the SARP is not going to exist at this point.
May I give the alternative text that Alan proposed?
All right. Tijani, go ahead. Let me hear. Okay.
This is to be defined by the JAS working group together with the ICANN staff and external experts.
Fine.
In the implementation phase.
Yes, and you continue.
Okay. So you got that, Rob?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Is anybody object to that? We're going to fix it right now and move on. Alan, your hand is still up?
Yes, and I'm trying to find the other place I was talking about.
Okay.
This is not a change that Tijani put in, but I've now focused on it because I hadn't before, and I don't think this is what we discussed in the working group when we had a very long discussion on it. The item is 69A in Tijani's new version. It says
a GTL string explicitly based on or related to a trademark.
That's correct. And I seem to remember a very strong set of comments from a number of people, including me and I think Avery, that we shouldn't reject someone a string because it happens to be a trademark.
Okay. Alan, you're right. And I just remark and just notice that I used an old text, the actual text and the draft that Seth and Rob proposed doesn't contain this point, so
no,
it's okay.
No, the last version Seth sent out on Friday, it contains exactly that verbatim.
Hmm.
I didn't see it.
I am looking at the...
Can Seth or Rob comment? The version that was sent out on Friday does not incorporate Tijani's text, does it? Or does it already incorporate?
No,
Alan, it does not. Okay, that's what I thought. And I'm looking at 69A on page 31.
Yeah, 69A does say that in the last draft. It does say that in the last draft. So what we are saying is that did not capture it. It's the direct opposite of what we said.
Exactly.
And I do remember that there was a long discussion because it was a question about what is trademark and how many ordinary words end up in trademarks and so on. We had a long discussion.
I don't remember what we recommended because it was difficult to phrase. But I remember we said we should not reject it purely because it happens to be a trademark.
That's exactly what we said.
Yeah.
Carlton, this is Evan.
Yes, Evan.
Hi. I seem to recall what the discussion was at the time, and my recollection is that at least our intention, if not our success in the wording, was that we didn't want to enable a dot brand. That is something that was specifically being created to support a commercial entity as a dot brand, whereas, say, a generic word that might be trademarkable wasn't quite the intention of what we wanted to exclude.
Yeah, or a not-for-profit, which happens to have trademarked their name.
Exactly.
Yes, there was a long discussion about that.
What we said. Does anyone remember what words we recommended? I think we actually came
I specifically remember us putting in the reference to a dot brand in quotes as part of what we were intending to exclude.
Yeah, we said we were going to exclude that brand so if it was connected to a commercial interest.
Yeah,
but we would not necessarily exclude a trademark or a brand that was related to a community-based organization.
Actually, Carlton, that may have been the intent, but I don't think we ever quite expressed it that way in the wording.
Certainly the current wording does not capture that.
No.
You're right about the intent, Carlton, but I don't think we ever actually articulated it in the documentation.
All right, can we work on this now, right now, while we're at it?
Avery has her hand up.
I'm seeing Avery, yes. I'm just getting to that. Avery, you have your hand up?
I think first of all that community was the hub of the consideration, and I think it could possibly be added if one just goes to the end of the sentence that says no, you know, where's the wording? No dot brand, explicitly related to a trademark, when being used for a dot brand, and as get rid of the. And I'm trying to answer your thing of give wording suggestions. So to take that first sentence and take the IE, a dot brand that is a dot brand, out and put explicitly based on or related to a brand used for a dot brand TLD. However, consideration should be given to accepting a community TLD application that contains what may be a trademarked term.
Rob, you got that?
Thank you. Let me read what I think you just read, can you just read it one more time, Aubrey?
Well, I was.
She was talking.
Okay, let me read back what I got then.
Okay, yeah, you read back because I was not typing. I was.
And I'm not a fast typer. For the record, that's Rob. A GTLD string explicitly based on or related to a trademark. A GTLD string based on or used as a brand.
No. Let me try again.
Okay.
Please. A GTLD expressly based on or related to a trademark when being used in a dot brand TLD application. Consideration. Oh, I'll stop.
Stop. New sentence.
And I'll go on to the next one when that one's okay.
The term has not been defined, and we labored very hard on it in other working groups.
Okay, what we can.
So I'm not sure we could use it as a defined term.
I think we can, although we may want to again put a weasel word around it and say for is used in what are being termed dot brand TLDs. I mean, we're leaving this up to this committee to figure out the right thing to do. And that's why the second sentence would be consideration should be given to applicants, community applicants who use a term that happens to be trademarked. And basically we're saying, listen, committee, look at this carefully. And you know, Here's the set of guidelines for something that looks like a commercial dot brand application, but if it is a community application and it happens to have its name in it as a TLD, and then you could put in parentheses, for example, at the end of it, where you know the trademark is not related to the application, or the trademark or the community happens to have trademarked its name, you know. That kind of example. And then I think we've covered it. Remember, this is just a guideline for...
Yeah, I think we would cover it by having that parenthetical reference, especially in the second sentence. So can we... So, Rob, you got a sense of what we're trying to achieve here?
Yes, sir, and as Seth jabbered me, we have the recording. I must say, Aubrey, I'd be very challenged to get an A in one of your courses if I was typing notes. But I think we've captured. I apologize. I just couldn't type fast enough to keep it in my head to keep it as a direct text.
Okay. Well, let's execute that, and we see afterwards. And certainly by Friday, we would have the thing locked.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Aubrey. So that is the end of the support eligibility requirements. Thanks everyone for making this.
Carlton, just one more comment on that.
Yes, Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, it's really a comment aimed at Seth and Rob. The importance. I take back the statement that dot brand is not defined, because the importance of in our report is to get the concept down.
Yes.
The actual words that will be written in the formal announcement is the result of the implementation, and their challenge is to word it in such a way that others will understand it. In our case, we need to make sure that we understand it and staff understand it, even if
the principle is conveyed.
Even if the wording uses undefined terms and things, as long as all of us are reading from the same prayer book, so to speak. Thank you.
Yes, and the principle of what we are saying is what is conveyed. Thank you. Thank you, Alan.
Carlton, this is Evan.
Yes, Evan, go ahead.
Okay, please bear my indulgence and give my and accept my apologies for having been walking while I've been on the call, and so I appreciate your tolerance of the noise. When I do get to a screen, I think I have some suggested wording that may deal with this. So if you want to move on, when I get to a screen, I think I have some wording that will clear that logjam.
That would be very useful, Evan. You can work with Avery and Seth and Rob on this and take care of it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'll put it in the Indigo chat.
Very well. Thank you. That would be most useful indeed.
Sorry, I have the Adobe chat. Never mind.
Okay. We have moved half an hour into this. Can we then go to Rob, and can we deal with the other comments starting at paragraph 20, Rob? And can we just work through the ones that are still outstanding? And can we include the comments from Andrew and I'm sure, have you seen the comments from Sebastian?
I have not, but I'm hopeful that Seth has. And when we get to that point in the text, that would be great, Carlton. Thank you.
All right. So let's move ahead then with dealing with the.
Before we move off there, in Tijani's reordering of things, a couple of comments that were flagged as discussion items were purged, and I'd like to grab those while we're still in this new text area. And if we can, I'd like to direct your all's attention to the service in an underserved language section. I believe that is, hold on one second.
67B.
That is 67B.
67B, yes. 67B, there was a comment that Alan, let's see, I'd like to, original language of no consensus. At the very end, Avery made a note, because there's a footnote, or at least there was a footnote at the end of the last bullet item there. And I want to try to flag that real quickly here.
What number? Sorry, I was typing something.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to line up the sentences. Hold on one second. The paragraph, which again is 67B, the last bullet, ends with the phrase, particularly where simultaneous IDNs are required in countries of great linguistic diversity. And in the original text, that included a footnote that spoke about near consensus in favor of this requirement being obviated by the working group's fee reduction recommendation. Tijani, I think, mentioned that, and all I want to flag here, because you gave a global blessing, Avery, as to whether that bullet point now satisfies your concern about the expression of consensus and the noting of the fee reductions in the footnotes.
Uh-huh.
Have I muddled that even further? Or?
No. This is Avery, if I can.
Avery, go ahead, please.
Okay, thanks. No, I read what Tijani had, and he was not putting forward the support of bundling. He was just saying, give consideration to support to people that are, and we had never said that someone couldn't ask for support on two strings, although, of course, you know, the committee has to consider that. So when I read Tijani's, I didn't read the outright support for the notion of bundling that made it necessary to say the need for bundling is obviated by the price reduction. So I think I'm fine.
Okay.
Did I muddle it even worse?
No, you approved the new language, which is, and it sounds like it captured or addressed your concerns. So I this is Rob.
It left out what raised the flag.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Alan. That last bullet is confusing as it reads because it says one thing and then it says something in a negative way, and I'm not sure it's going to be easy to understand as it's expressed there.
You have to excuse my English. I am not, as you know.
Your English is better than most native English speakers, Tijani.
You're better than mine. I remember how often you've corrected my English, Tijani.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Great. Well, I think that satisfied any of the other outstanding comments in that section, Carlton. Thank you.
Yeah, I would ask the editors to look at that last paragraph and see if you can make it clearer.
Yeah,
I don't. Want
Which paragraph you talking about, Alan? Just be specific.
Last bullet point.
The last bullet point. There's a consensus. That one.
Well, it says there's consensus, but there isn't a consensus.
Well, it says there's near consensus, doesn't it?
Well,
it is. Okay. It is. Carlton, it is because I did it in the negative form. And Alan said it is confusing. So if the drafter can put it in better English so that it will be clearer.
That was the near consensus is used in second to last bullet.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I was talking about the last bullet.
He's talking about the last bullet, Tijani.
Can I add to that?
Yes, Avery, go ahead.
The two sentences have different topics. One sentence says that there was consensus to not considering the concept of bundling.
Yes.
And that is a true statement. There was also a minority position
statement,
that
right.
expressed advocating, but even those that advocated something similar to bundling were not suggesting that this group consider the concept of bundling. I mean, that was the consensus at the very end.
No,
there was
significant. I would say there's a minority position for bundling. I would think that it's advocated because Andrew and a couple others were.
Carlton, if I may interject, I think if there's a minority position, and in this case it would be one or two people at most, I think it should be submitted as a minority position and not necessarily noted in the report.
Okay, guys, my hand has been up for quite a while.
Oh, you're here.
Evan, yes.
Okay. As one of the people, I think, who actually created that particular paragraph, let me just perhaps give a little clarification and see if maybe it sheds some light on things. This makes explicit reference to the GAC-ALAC statement on the issue, which referred to... basically came to the conclusion that if ICANN accepts the concept of fee reduction, that is a GTLD fee of $47,000, that most of, if not all of the issues regarding bundling would go away, that you now had a situation where somebody could apply for three strings, and at $47,000 each, it would still be less expensive than $185,000. So for most instances of bundling, it was considered that if they accepted the issue of fee reduction, that it would essentially render meaningless the whole meeting to deal with the bundling issue. Where the exception was made was in some states, and I don't know if it was made clear, such as India, where you have many, many, many different potential strings that are involved, where a bundling issue might not be just simply two or three strings bundled into the same notion in multiple character sets, but perhaps, dozens. And, in fact, there was recommendation made not to the Jazz Group, but to the board to initiate policy that would facilitate that kind of substantial bundling issue. But the intention, I think, that was made during the GAC-ALAC debriefing on this was that if the concept of a $47,000 fee is accepted, that basically renders most of the discussions on bundling moot. And even the people that were in favor of bundling, by and large, I think, supported this notion. Thank you.
I think Evan said it.
Alan, you have your hand up, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Evan did say it, and I believe that was part of the discussion we had last time. And I think the way it ended was Andrew, who was the strongest advocate for bundling, and I supported it with a proviso which isn't reflected in these words because there's technical issues involved in it. I think we decided that it would not be presented in the report, but if he wanted to advocate for it with or without anyone else's support, he would actually submit a minority report. I think that is how it came out. Maybe my memory is wrong and Andrew isn't on the call.
If I remember correctly, Alan, Andrew was one of the folks that said, if I can accept the fee reduction, then even his issues about bundling for two or three strings essentially go away.
No, he came out with a proposal into last week's meeting.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Which was a strong advocation, and I helped word it, so I know that part is fact.
Okay.
He did raise it again, and I believe it was effectively there was no one else supporting it other than him and, to a lesser extent, me, with a proviso. And I think we ended up saying this was not a consensus. It was not even a significant part of the working group who believed it, and therefore it shouldn't be in the report proper, but he could, of course, submit a minority report should he choose to. I believe that's the way it came out. If someone else who was on that call could confirm
that. I wasn't on the call on Friday, so...
Then we can leave it at that and make sure the words reflect that instead of what went into that meeting.
So is it the sense that we should not mention the minority? What is there? What do you think?
No, there was a majority report. The majority of the working group believes that we should not be considering bundling in this pass. I'm not one of the ones who said that, but I believe that was the majority of the working group, with possibly one or two exceptions to that. Which I think makes for a vast majority, if not unanimous, but close. So I think there was a near consensus that we should not be looking at bundling, if we want to use that expression. Maybe I'm the only person who was at that meeting, but I think that's what we decided.
I was there, and it was exactly that.
Okay, so let's make sure the words say that. If we have near consensus on one thing, we don't have to introduce another couple of sentences saying what the opposite was.
And Avery was there. She can say.
Yeah, I was there. I'm agreeing with everything.
Okay, can we leave it to the drafters?
Okay, I kind of think what was there.
One of the drafters wants to speak.
Yes, thank you. This is Rob. As one of the drafters, the text that we had in the draft version that we circulated incorporated those components, and part of that was the footnote that we added. We had gone through several iterations of that with various comments, and I think we were close. Obviously, this additional text has changed that a bit, but what we'll do is we'll blend the two, and I think we'll be able to satisfy the concerns you all have expressed.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Can you now, Rob, let's go for the next little while and see if we can rush through the others. We want to finish them today.
Yes, sir, gladly. Let me turn back to the a previous substantive item that was raised on our last call. Tijani, I think, mentioned it. I don't recall if it was a note just to Seth and I or a note to the group. And that is, now looking at the circulated draft that Seth provided, paragraph 20B on page 13. Those of you on the last call will remember that Andrew asked for one last opportunity to try to reformulate paragraph 20B to reflect his concerns. And our editor collection, that I think is reflected in both the transcript and the recording, is that if you all were not happy with 20B, it would just go out. But that Andrew is making a final attempt to provide language that would satisfy everybody.
Just for clarity, is what is in the draft circulated on Friday that language, or
I have to reset the RN site
separately?
It went down sometime between Saturday night. And,
okay.
Okay.
So it's an email I didn't look at.
Yeah. And now I'm trying to restart it.
I'm sorry. This is Rob. I don't know. We just had a cross conversation there.
Sorry. Just a moment. That was me.
Okay. Thank you. No. The language that is in 20B is what Andrew said he wants you all to consider. That was what. Basically, and Seth, you can clarify for me, I think he went back to some of his original language. Is that correct, Seth?
Yes, that's correct, and it is in the draft that you have, that everyone has.
Right, so the decision of the working group would be, do you like what B is now, and if not, it comes out?
I have my hand up.
I'm just waiting for that to come in, to Jani, and then I have Alan. Rob, are you through with that?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Tijani?
Thank you. So this alternative text was proposed by Andrew just before last call. And during the last call, we discussed this extensively. And as Alan said, we decided what Alan told you now. So that's why I consider that 20B doesn't have a place here.
That's Tijani. Alan, you have your hand up, sir?
Yeah, Tijani's memory is right. The wording there is what I personally was advocating, with a footnote defining what a single logical TLD was, and as Avery pointed out, there are potential technical difficulties there, and I think the conclusion we came to is we would omit it. I seem to remember Rob saying, well, if we omit it, then we have 20 and A, but only one bullet, and it should be simply replaced by a simple sentence, not a subpart. And I think I remember Rob or somebody raising that issue that sub-bullets with only one left should simply be replaced by a simple sentence.
Okay.
I think we went through all that, but maybe again I'm hallucinating.
Well,
yeah,
I was not on the call, so.
Pardon me?
Yeah, no. This is Rob. No, we did say that, Alan. So if you now all agree that B comes out, we will reformulate 20 and A into just 20.
I believe
exactly.
I believe that was the conclusion of last Friday's meeting.
Yes.
Well, that was subsequent to, Andrew's final attempt to make a change. And if you are now all deciding that you don't like
but
what is left, then it will change.
Okay, but if what is in B in the current draft is something that Andrew drafted after that meeting,
no,
I don't see it as a substantive change from what we discussed, and therefore I don't think it addressed the issue. Now, maybe,
and
again, I don't remember the exact wording, and I can't find Andrew's note, but what is captured in the B in the current draft is pretty close to what we were suggested going into Friday's meeting.
Yeah. Alan, he drafted it just before the call, the last time call.
Okay, in that case, we discussed it and rejected it during the call.
Exactly.
If he
so we are saying that we are retaining B as is.
No.
No.
The exact opposite. We are dropping B and merging the 20 into a single.
20 now becomes just a sentence.
Anymore.
Just a sentence.
Yeah, I believe that is what we discussed if someone goes to the transcript for Friday,
exactly.
Unless I'm completely imagining it, but I think that was what we ended up with.
You are not imagining.
And I remember, I think, Rob, pointing out that we now had 20 with the subsection A, but nothing else, and the subsection concept should be removed.
Yeah.
This is Rob. Again, to clarify, and you all gave Andrew an additional opportunity, and what I was sharing is that he chose to keep that language. So in an effort to give you all one last chance to, in a sense, discuss or reject it.
Okay. If he chose to keep that language, I don't think it changed the discussion from Friday.
Okay. I was not on Friday, so I'm going to depend on you guys, but I have to call it now and move on.
Okay.
So if it has not been suggested, then we can go to the transcript to just ensure it. So the decision is that we strike B, we rewrite 20, just include one sentence, include the fee reduction for 785,000.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Alan?
I believe that's what we decided, and I have no reason to change that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, Rob, let's go on with that. Next.
Great. Very much. We're now going to move very far forward because the next many paragraphs and pages were already discussed by the group. We've already discussed Tijani's material as well, so I'm scrolling through relatively quickly here. We're going to find ourselves all the way up to... Please hold on a second. I believe up to a comment, Seth, that you provided on page 36, paragraph 77. Was that handled with Tijani's materials? I believe so.
Yeah.
So we're into ineligibility criteria. Up to, and we've handled paragraph 81.
It's okay. It will be integrated.
Yes, thank you. Up to paragraph 83, and again, this is the old number 83 in the draft that was circulated to all of you. Paragraph 83, subsection E, on page 40. The comment reads, Avery suggested these bullets as a starting point, working group member additions, edits, comments requested. I'm flagging that to give folks one final opportunity to perhaps add anything else to the information and documentation in paragraph 83. Hearing none, then I would submit, Mr. Chairman, that we continue.
Thank you. Let's move on.
Thank you. The next comment is paragraph 87, subsection A. And Seth, I'll ask you to address that because this is one that you had inserted.
Certainly. Rob, what paragraph are we up to? Paragraph 87A,
right? 87A, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, let me just look at this. Ian H on this. Yes. Some of these lettered sections had been excerpted for use in the executive summary earlier, so we discussed them in very briefly when we started going through all the comments because there was a comment flagging them in the executive summary. Specifically, the ones that I've listed here, A, E, and part of H, when asking about what level of consensus the work group had found, what was decided was that it was full consensus. So my question here is, now that the full list is present in this paragraph, paragraph 87, is it fair to say that a full consensus, that each of these points was met with a full consensus? Mr. Chairman, what do you think we could say about that?
I would want to have in my introduction, my summary, just the matters of that receive full consensus up front. I really don't think we should be making the summary itself the matter of controversy.
Understood, Carlton. In this section on paragraph 87, though, do we want to say that, as you see, it reads, the following broad steps within the support evaluation process did not achieve full consensus in the work group discussions. Do we want to maintain that? Do we want to actually say what level of consensus was in fact?
No, I want to leave it at that because we've decided that the detailed evaluation, the detailed processes is going to be left to staff anyways. So that's fine.
Okay, so just leave it as it is. Keep it as it is.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
That would be my judgment on this. I hope others agree with me. I see. Is anybody thinking that this is something that we should... Which page, Rafik Ox? Look at page...
Page 42.
40, page 42, Rafik.
Actually, it's rather, Carlton, it's a rather long list. It begins on 40 and goes through.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little while, but.
Please use paragraph numbers. Different versions of the report have, whether it's clean, the clean report or the marked up report, have different page numbers.
Right, it's paragraph number 87,
which is page 38 in my version, or 39.
Oh, really? Thank you, Alan.
Any problems? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it's Alan. I have an item on that we skipped over.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry I was on the other page.
All right. In paragraph 79D as in dog, I asked a question. Don't want to debate it, but the sentence needs clarification because it's vague as it stands. It says Karen Lynn's must be capable of contributing $47,000 towards registry continuity operational costs. And in the previous one, C, $47,000 in operational costs. But there's no unit. There's no per what.
And this
in D, it may well be a one-time. The continuity costs should be limited to $47,000. $47,000 for operational costs needs a time basis. I wasn't involved in the discussion of setting that, so I don't know what the answer to the question is, but as it's worded right now, it is not clear.
Okay. For what? I see here. $45,000 per what? $45,000.
Yeah, as I said, indeed, the answer may well be it's a one-time payment. C, that answer is not applicable. The comment disappeared from C, but it was asked there also.
I think this was meant as a one-time payment.
So all I need to do is put in $47,000 to operate the registry for the next 29 years.
No, the fact is that the expectation is that somebody will take it over and subsume most of the operational costs.
All right. All I'm asking is whatever it the intent was, and I find it hard to believe that was the intent, but whatever it was should be made clear because right now it is not clear. Does anyone
how is it
on this
done
call
now?
Remember
what is the exact thing? We are simply replicating
It says candidates must be capable of contributing $47,000 towards registry operational costs if the candidate proposes to operate its own registry. If everyone else is happy with it, I'll stand down. But I don't know how to.
Well, to me, if the question is, are we talking about if we put a time on it, is $47,000 per annum? We're expecting somebody to have $47,000 in perpetuity? No, I don't think so either. That would not make sense.
All right, if I'm the only one who has the concern, let's just go skip it and go on.
That's not a concern, Adam.
Then let's go on.
Okay. Rob, can we move on?
Yeah, I mean, I skipped over this section because you all adopted, you know, a lot of the thoughts and combination of language that Tijani had offered in his alternative text, and this text was a part of that, and actually paragraph C and D seem to have been combined into one.
Yeah.
And so we can just, so the conclusion is that in Tijani's new, and I'm sorry for doing this, but Tijani's new 68C, We're making sure that number is 47,000, but we're not otherwise making any changes to it.
And that's what we're suggesting here.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Alan, for pulling us back to that. That was helpful. This is Rob again. Now moving up to, there are a couple of minor ones where we're just going to make sure that we define acronyms and things like that. The next substantive area just asks a question, and it's mainly addressed to Andrew and Avery. In the section that talks about maintaining or losing eligibility, Andrew commented that he thought the section needed to clarify the circumstances of discharge and revocation. He noted the need to clean up the section. Avery contributed some ideas to that. So we reworked this section by inserting the heading maintaining or losing eligibility, adding some clarifying language into this section, and the ask on this call is whether Andrew and Avery are satisfied with the changes and whether it's now much clearer. And I know Andrew's not on the call, but Avery, if you have any comments.
Avery, you want to have a go at this? She may be gone, you know, because she said she had to go.
What paragraph are we on now? Sorry.
I'm sorry. This is the comment is inserted at the end of paragraph 92.
89, 90, and the comment is on 92.
Right. And it just refers to the section of maintaining or losing eligibility. And in reading back through it, I agree with him that it needed to be cleaned up, and we did that. I think it reads much more clear, but it's not my judgment that goes into the final report.
I personally follow what is being said here. So unless my colleagues have a substantive comment...
In that case, Carlton, would you like me to proceed?
Yes, please.
You're using the word application in two places. Are we talking about the same? As I read it, it sounds more like one is the application for the TLD and one is the application for the support.
I think it's the application for the support. It's the SAC, it's support application. Candidate, support applicant candidate. So I think it's about support.
Well, this is Rob. The concept in 89 is that there are four checkpoints where the staff, you know, does a quick double check to make sure that the original criteria are still being provided, you know, circumstances remain the same. So you're right, through the course of the application process, Alan, I think you're right, it refers strictly to that. The issue I think that may come up is once you're past the application process, what happens if the circumstances change? But I don't think this section deals with once you're an approved applicant.
I think when you have application in the last part of the sentence, will be revoked, discarded, it's agreement to support will be revoked, not the application.
It's a very good point. So is your recommendation to change that to the support as opposed to the application?
I think, or some words to that effect. You can't revoke someone's application.
The support. The decision to support can be revoked.
Yes, right.
Great. Thank you. And we'll make that change.
Good catch, Alan.
Moving right along,
Rob.
Yes, paragraph 93 refers to volunteers, and Avery asked the question, are the outside experts also volunteers? I thought we say in paragraph, it's now 95, that this wasn't necessary. The sentence I think that she focuses on is the SARP should be composed of volunteers from the ICANN community and outside experts knowledgeable about the existing new GTLD process. And so her question is, does volunteers modify both the ICANN community and outside experts? I will share that my understanding of your discussion was that outside experts who choose to volunteer are on the SARP, but that there are other outside experts that the working group has recommended that ICANN staff reach out to and hire. But paragraph 95
does, yes. That was the sense of how it was discussed, to my recollection. We would not limit, if you had outside experts as volunteering for the panel, that's fine, but we would not be limited to just having volunteer outside experts. Some could be hired to fill whatever gaps. That was my recollection of the discussion.
Yeah, if you're a member, again, it's Alan. The way I took the discussion was, if you're a member of the SARP, then you are a volunteer. The SARP may contract with outside experts to act as advisors over and above that. I would not think they are voting members of the group, but are acting as advisors to the group. That's how I don't think we ever said that, but that's how I took it.
That's how I took it too, sir, yes.
In that case, we would this is Rob, we would change paragraph 95. And we would say,
I think we have to not use the term, the unmodified term outside experts in both cases. One of them needs to, you know, maybe the first one in 93 is outside experts who choose to participate or something like that. Otherwise, you've got to use a slightly different name for the two. Otherwise, they're not going to be distinguishable.
Okay, we'll work through that. Yeah, because I think... Yes, okay, thank you.
You get the point Alan was making for 95, Seth? Rob?
Yeah, it may be fixable by making a change to 93. I'm not being prescriptive. I'm just saying we should not use exactly the same phrase in both cases.
Right, and the key point that you're making is that if you are on the panel and voting, you are a volunteer.
You are a volunteer. If you are outside experts, then you're not on the panel and voting. You are acting as advisors paid to the panel.
Right. Great. We'll make those changes. Thank you, gentlemen. The next item is also a comment from Alan with Avery responses. And Alan, I'll let you speak to it. It's paragraph 99, support recovery, in which you wrote, we need clarity here whether the support that is to be repaid includes the fee discount or just the financial support provided over and above the fee reduction. And Avery said she didn't recall discussing this concept, so this is an area that the working group needs to clarify for us. I don't know if Alan, if you want to speak to this point.
Oh, I think my comment says it all. At the time we wrote this, I don't think we had locked in that it must be a fee reduction and that was not, quote, support. Regardless of the status when we wrote it, we are now taking the position that the fee reduction to $47,000 is not what we're calling additional financial support, is not what the $2 million is for. And so I was asking the question, what are we expecting them to repay? I do recall there was a discussion on it. I think we came to closure, but honestly, I don't remember what that closure was. And I remember Avery was one of the ones who spoke on it.
My recollection is that we spoke about it, and it was decided that it's only anything above and beyond what they get. You know, it's not the fee itself, but any support, any financial support they get otherwise, not the
fee.
So
if we don't give them any money other than the fee reduction...
Yes, it's money other than the fee reduction.
Then in success, they don't have to pay anything back.
That's right.
Okay. I'm not sure that is what we decided, but I'm happy to accept it as long as the words that were coming out with it are clear.
I recollect. That was my sense of it. That's my sense of it, Alan.
Okay, I'm not advocating coming down on one side or the other personally. I just want to make sure that the words we're coming out with are clear so the implementers know how to implement it.
Okay.
I have a personal perspective, but that's it's too late for that now if we already made a decision, so thank you.
Can we move on?
Well, this is Rob. Just to clarify then, what we will do there, Carlton, is confirm, and right now I've just put in as a parenthetical comment, the first sentence would read, working group has full consensus that support approved candidates that receive support, such support not defined or not including the fee reduction under this program, have an obligation to pay back into the program. So calling out very specifically that the fee reduction is not part of that support is defined in this section.
That is my understanding of it.
Thank you. You'll be delighted to know, Mr. Chairman, that we are at the end of the report with one final comment by Alan. And I'll read it, Alan, to pique your memory. Alan wrote, having completed the review of the core report, I see there is no mention of changing the continuity requirements to be far more modest. Eric had noted there was an ongoing discussion in some other group, but do we really want to leave it solely up to them? On the last call, Alan, you made an observation that there was a section that talked about the continuity support instrument, but just in passing, and you asked, do we talk about it elsewhere in the document? There are several mentions of the continuity document in this report, but there's no full-blown substantive discussion of it. So I'm not sure what you want to do.
I believe the only thing that could be called a substantive discussion is saying that the time period has to be reduced.
Yeah.
And I would maintain that that is not the same as this discussion. And if everyone is happy to leave it be, I'm not going to... beat it anymore. I personally believe that was a very important part of the applicant guidebook that should not be applicable to this class, to many of the, you know, of the organizations we're talking about. Avery disagreed in that she preferred just to see things die quickly and not be maintained forever. So I'm willing to let it drop, but I'm just raising the issue to make sure that's a consensus of the group and not just me being tired, which I am.
We all are.
It's called drafting fatigue.
Can I ask a question of the members who are here? Is it your sense that you could support Alan on this? Let's see if we move on.
What does support Alan on this mean? I just gave two different viewpoints.
The last viewpoint.
That we just forget it, drop my comment, and leave the report as it is.
Yes.
Okay. Nobody's screaming.
Nobody's screaming. I think we let's move on with it.
Carlton, can we take advantage of the fact, well, we're through the substantive part. So the question would be whether you want to, and Seth can flag a couple of comments or maybe parts in the background section, which is relatively non-substantive, but just, you know, us trying to capture what went on before. But also, Evan has contributed some specific text back in that area about dot brands and candidate eligibility. I didn't know if you thought it would be helpful just to nail that down real quick.
Yes, we could do that. Thank you, Rob, for bringing that up. Evan produced in the chat some specific text for the reference to, what was it again? What paragraph?
If you're looking at the main document, the paragraph is 69A.
69A. Thank you. 69A.
Yes, sir. And whatever changes you make here will reflect it in the new Tijani text.
Right.
Substituted.
That's where we're going to do. So we're going to include the Tijani text. We're going to adopt Tijani's text into the main report. And in that adoption, we will add this text here that we are proposing. I'm just asking everyone, would this meet the qualifications?
I'm presuming it is in the second sentence it's community.
Community, yes. I okay. Thank you, Alan.
First
it's
I read it as
community. It's a U. Right, Evan? I don't think you meant commodity, but it's community.
Evan said he has to leave.
I saw that, too. I was hoping I'd catch him before he goes. Okay, Cheryl says it's okay with Evan's suggested text, subject to the typographical correction. There being no...
Cheryl says she wants to leave my comment, but I thought we said we would scrap the comment and forget the issue.
Yeah.
We're all patiently waiting for Cheryl to type.
She says she's tapping the dock. No, I dropped some text on tapping the comment from AG. You need to be forwarded and later CP comment dropped from my report. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there's one other substantive area that was flagged in the email on this final draft, this last draft, I won't call it the final one, and that was a reference back to the IPv6 discussion, and Michaela circulated a comment indicating that he could not support the language as written with respect to IPv6. And so that raises two questions. One, what do you want to do with the text for IPv6 support, which is reflected in the draft document as paragraphs 51 to 54? And then two, depending upon your decision there, a more global question that's come up on this call, how do you want to handle the logistics of minority positions or minority contributions?
I'll let you address that at paragraph 51.
Let me take Alan first, and then I will tell you what my own inclination is, Rob. Alan, you have the floor, sir.
Yeah, in that case, I may be wrong, but I think Michaela is about the only one who is objecting vehemently, in which case I think we have near but not unanimous consensus.
That would have been my comment, but since Michaela is representing an important constituency, I would make a footnote to say that
if no one else is raising the issue on the working group, all we can do is deal with the people on the working group. We can't use a crystal ball to see who else might be agreeing with someone on the working group. I don't think.
Yeah. Alan, my only thing is in an abundance of caution, and since Michaela is on the group representing an established community, we might simply just note.
I believe he has said many times, or at least sometimes recently, that if he says something under his name, he's representing himself. I don't think he is representing registrars.
He's not representing registrars.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well...
If you think he is, we should ask him explicitly, but...
I will send him a note to ask whether or not he's representing registrars or he's representing himself, and I'll explain to him why. But from my reading of it, I don't see any other way to deal with it. He's not had any support on this issue, and I am inclined to move it along.
Yeah, When the issue was just raised, is it because the current words say there is what is the current word? I don't know what section we're talking about. So what is the current words regarding consensus regarding IPv6 in the document as it stands?
Yeah, Go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is Rob. At this point, the document simply says, for registries located in areas where IPv6 connectivity is limited or unavailable, ICANN will need to facilitate support. I'm looking through quickly the four paragraphs. There's nothing that says specifically the working group says, but, you know, it's, or the working group achieved near consensus or anything like that at present.
I think Michaela's problem, Ms. Carlton, was that he's reading too much into the use of the term facilitating. That's my view. Alan, you have your hand up still?
Yeah, no, I was going to take it down. I think he's objecting, saying that we should not be raising the IPv6, that people should be required to meet it as per their requirements.
But the text went, if we're
simply making a recommendation and not qualifying it by consensus, we are implying full consensus.
And Alan, the only place where it would really be substantive, if you look back at paragraph 48, which introduces this section. Recall this: the IPv6 conversation or text is a part of several examples of support from third parties facilitated by ICANN, and the section begins with two sentences. The working group believes that ICANN can play an important role in helping connect support recipients with willing third-party donors of goods and services, such as those identified above. And then it says the working group recommends that ICANN establish a collaborative central directory or clearinghouse, you know, to match up, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So
and then 49 went in to say that as one of these collected resources for assistance was IPv6 collectivity.
Okay, and without modification, I read that to be the working group unanimously recommends, and he's simply saying that it wasn't unanimous, it should be noted somewhere.
Well, what I can do is specifically on, this is Rob, specifically in the IPv6 support area is to say, on the subject of IPv6 support, the working group achieved near but unanimous consensus, period. And then just, that would begin paragraph 51.
Fine with me.
Yeah, let's deal with that, because if we're going to do the Manarte thing, then we run into the problem with Andrew and his insistence that he's one. It's the same kind of thing. You have a Lone Ranger who's been vehement in one suggestion, and you can't treat them differently. At least that's my sense of it.
I think there's a difference between disagreeing with a recommendation and asking to introduce something new. But in any case, Olivier has been very patient there.
Yes, Olivier, I'm sorry about that. I see your hand up, sir.
Thanks very much, Carlton. Olivier here for the records. Actually, I think there is a discrepancy in the report. The part on IPv6 support, so 51, 52, etc., do not mention the doing away with the rule of IPv6 being required. What it does say there is for ICANN to facilitate support for IPv6 providers to provide IPv6 gateways, to provide technical know-how for IPv6 to help in having IPv6 connectivity when an applicant comes from that region. However, the executive summary at the beginning mentions under non-financial support, so we're looking at non-financial support part A, B, deferred IPv6 and DNSSEC requirements, which doesn't appear to be what is actually said later on in the report. And I think that Michele might therefore be ticking on the deferred IPv6 and DNSSEC requirements. Thank you.
Well, that's... Thank you, Olivia, because when I read 51, 52, that's why I said at the start that I think he was having a problem with the reading too deeply into what facilitated meant. I don't see, you know, probably we can change the wording in. Yes, it would. I'm just looking at it now. Now, and there seem to be some dissonance with what is said in 50, 51, and 52, with what comes up in the
in the executive summary. It's not a deferment, actually. It's facilitated IPv6 compliance that the body of the report speaks about.
Carlton, this is Rob. I'm noting that edit on page 6.
Thank you, Rob. I will not even, I will just point out to Michaela that we've changed thing and we point out to 5152 and ask him whether or not this meets his objection. So we move on.
Yes, sir. This is Rob again. The follow-up question to that was, assuming that Michele may still want to do a minority report, or if there are other limited items, as we've discussed in the last couple of calls, where someone may have a minority position, what is the working group's process for handling that in the final report?
Here's my thinking. Since we're not going to have the minority report, the minority report is for the action of the member who would wish to make it. I think that it might be important in the footnote to add a footnote where it occurs, where we anticipate there will be minority reports, to just show for completeness of the record that we expect a minority report in that area. I that's my feeling on it. I would go to Alan and have him.
Yeah, how this is normally handled, at least in the ones that I participated in, is the report gets cast in concrete, and then there's a very small number of days that are allowed for anyone to submit a minority report, which then gets incorporated as an appendix or attachment to the report. And because I think it's important that those attachments go to the chartering body
for their
review. So I think whenever we cast it in concrete, there's a very small number of days for someone to submit a minority report, which means they better have started working on it ahead of time. And
all right.
So it can be incorporated into the final PDF.
Okay. So, Alan, let me ask a question then. How do we? Would you object to actually noting that we are expecting minority reports?
I would not put that in the text.
You would not put it in the text. All right. I'm guided by you, sir.
I do have cases where if our editors have the capability, once a minority report has come in, it could be flagged with a footnote. The report can be annotated to say, refer to the back, there is a minority report on this item. That's a nicety if we have the time to do that. But I think I don't think we should try to reflect the content in the footnote at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal opinion, and that's pretty well in line with what has been done in other reports. I mean, in the only report I can remember where the body of the text reflected the minority report, I think, was the STI report on trademark protection, where I think the body noted that there was a minority report on this issue, but I'm not even sure about that.
All right. Well, I'm going to be guided by that, sir. So Rob will follow that position.
Okay, thank you. So that when you have a final piece, then you'll circulate the document and say if anyone has a minority statement, you have X hours or X days to get it to the list. And then we'll incorporate into the document. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, there's one other item that we've been debating about within the staff, and I'd certainly like to have the guidance from you all on it, is how do you want us to reflect the working group members in the report. Do you want them listed in an appendix? Would you like to be listed at the beginning of the document? And what is the universe of that list that you all as a working group consider members of the working group? Is that everybody on the circulation list? How do you want us to handle that?
My preference is that we're listed in an appendix. That's the first thing. My preference is that we include everyone who's signed up for the list. Glenn provided an accounting of those, and I think we should just use that. And Cheryl has noted that she would prefer appendix, so she's agreeing with me. Thank you, Cheryl, for the support there. And you need to spell her name correctly. Alan, you have your hand up, sir.
Yeah,
and then we
I
go
think
to
it's mandatory that we include everyone on the list. The GNSO working group rules, which I believe we are working under, specify that a working group member does not being a working group member does not require you to participate in the calls. It has been standard practice, however, to include in the report a statement of how many calls were there and, at the very least, how many calls any given person participated in. And often there's a backup document saying which calls they participated in, you know, typically somewhere on the wiki or on the web. But I think at the very least, every report I can remember reports it on how many of the calls did each person participate in, so people can get a measure of what the actual discussion was, who was participating in the discussion.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a rule, but that's the practice.
All right. I can board member. All right. So can Robbie, here's what we're going to close. We are going to have all the members on the list. That is the email list listed. We are going to have, if we can get the rule, call data as an appendix, which would say who the members are, especially in the latter portion of it where we had the items discussed. It would be important if we could link the attendance somehow to the substantive discussion at the time of attendance. So I think we're moving, as Alan says, in a traditional way here.
Yeah, it's Alan. We could divide the calls up into, you know, pre-Singapore, post-Singapore, or some other division, you know, if we think there's a substantive importance to that.
So noted, Alan. We have Avery says that putting all that stuff in appendices is best, so I'm glad. Thank you, Avery. Avery's making a note here on IPv6. He said that the difference of opinion does not need to be explicit in the executive summary, but it should be noted. He says, for example, she is an advocate of getting help to do it for IPv6 compliance sake, but not for exemption. So noted, Africa, we were not arguing for exemption, by the way. We were saying that where there is to meet that requirement, then it's part of the support structure that support-approved candidates be given help to meet that requirement. And there's some ways that were embraced as making that happen. Okay. Alan noted we are 8 minutes over the call. Cheryl, I think, has just endorsed what I just said about IPv6. We were not talking about exemption at all. And that's my... Rudy Rudy Vaznik is Olivier is making the case that Rudy Vaznik should be credited in credits. I'm not sure. You mean as a part of the...
He's giving the spelling of his name.
Oh, okay. Not Rudy Vaznik, but Rudy Vaznik.
No.
Okay.
The letters are the same. It's the spacing and capitalization he's identifying.
Yeah. Okay. Seth, you have your hand up for a little while, so can we take it?
Yes, thank you, Carlton. I just wanted to ask, in the list of work group members provided by Glenn, there is some identifying information after each name, especially for the GNSO people, having to do with which groups they're in within GNSO, et cetera. Do we want to include information like that, or do we want to just include the name and whether they're a GNSO or at large?
Alan has his hand up. Let me see if Alan's going to...
Yeah, again, the norm is to either group them together by origin or to put it after each name, but lead it off saying these people are not necessarily representing the group of which they're part of. So it can be done either way. Either way, there shouldn't be an implication, but it should... It gives the reader some idea of where the people came from, which I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would accept the way that Glenn has set it out. She gives them in groups and put them on each group.
Actually,
so we just go with that.
Thank you. I was actually asking, though, specifically after each of the names in Glenn's list, she has some details such as non-commercial stakeholder group within GNSO. Information like that. Do we need?
I mean, it doesn't hurt to have that too.
All right. Typically, one goes down to the constituency in the GNSO, if there is one, or if not the stakeholder group. And in terms of at large, typically we use the term at large.
Cheryl agrees. The constituents in GNSO is essential. Yes, I don't. I think whatever information is there and whatever clarifies it, because if you wear a hat, it might be useful. Let's do that. So I'm suggesting again that we use the format that Glenn proposed and fill it out as best as possible. Seth, you just then asked the question. I had called on you. Okay. Rob, you have your hand up.
Thank you, sir. I was hopeful that you all would have a brief discussion about logistics moving forward in terms of finalizing the document.
I'm going to that now, Rob. So if you bear with me. We actually telegraphed it on the list, but essentially we are going to make Friday's call the final call for putting this report to bed. How I would expect it to go, and I have not discussed it with Rafiq yet, but I hope Rafiq is on still. If he can give me an indication that he's still listening, he's on, is that we will take...
Carlton, Rafiq is on mute.
Oh, he's on mute.
Sorry, he's just come off.
Okay. Rafiq, you with me?
Yes.
Oh, lovely. The question that was asked is what do we do to wrap this up? And I was making the point that we've pretty much agreed that this Friday is the drop-dead date for the report, to conclude the report.
Yes.
And we are going to propose a process by which to do it.
Yeah, I guess... Yes, we finished with the comments, so just last review to check the consistency and check if there is any typo, etc. That's all. That's more, I guess, review for the formatting than the substantive parts of the report.
Right. That was our intent. We would have used this call to make all of this. I kept on asking for specific wording. We will then have our usual
consultation and the drafting for the next 10 minutes or so. Don't go away, fellas. And then we, when come Friday, Rob and Seth, we expect to look at the report only in terms of format and typographical errors. That's it. We're not going to have any more discussions about this. And once that is done, we close the chapter on it. And then we have put out a request to have the webinar for the week of September 11th, is it? Next week? 13th or 14th. I'm hoping Carla will come back to us with some content that we can share with the group. And then after that, we are ready to roll through to the various committees, which is once the report is tied down, we will forward it to the chartering organizations for their action. And once that action is done, the chartering organizations will send it through to the board. That's how we see things happening. Tijani, you have your hand up, sir.
Yes, thank you. I assume that Rob and Seth will send the latest or the more recent version so that we can revise it and come on Friday with a concrete proposal if there is something to arrange to better present.
Tijani, tell you honest truth. This is your last shot at having any substantive thing. If you have it now,
I'm not talking about substance. I'm talking about the concordance between the executive summary and the rest of the text.
Yes. As I'm saying, we are going to have that, and we are going to have that. If you stay online, we will have that discussion. No, the drafting. So we ensure that Rob get and Seth get that. And then we will have it produced as usual and sent to the list. And included in that, we will have all of the formatting and all of the other things that we talk about sorted out so that when it arrives to us the day after or so, it is what is in for Fridays. And all we're going to talk about Fridays, agreeing with the formatting and any typographical errors that might be there.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Alan, you have your hand up, sir.
Yeah, I want to go on record as disagreeing with what you're saying. I understand the intent, and hopefully there are not many substantive issues, but as we're reading final clean text, we identify inconsistencies or something that we believe does not represent what the working group said, I think we have an obligation to raise those issues. I hope there's not many left, but I would not want to say that we're not allowed to talk about it because of the what our formal published schedule was.
Alan. Well, let me say this. Let me make the correction and say I would expect every one of us to look at the report as would be sent out by Seth and Rob, the last version, and we will make that comment or whatever at the time. But we will conclude it on Friday.
Well, let's hope we will.
We really need to.
I
am tired. And I really have to teach.
I've just done this a few too many times.
Yeah. So I am still down for having it completed on Friday. So if there are any substantive comments or if there is anything, whatever we do, we are going to put it to bed on Friday. No, Avery, don't dial back in. We're going to stay on here just to get to you. Tijani, you have your hand up still? You have something?
No, sorry.
Okay. Rob, you have your hand up, sir. Can we just deal with that and then we move? I'll call this thing to a close. We're way over.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to confirm for the group what we had talked about as staff in terms of our plans. Seth and I are going to go ahead and process the edits that we received on this call, and thanks very much to Evan for some specific text on the only real hairy section, I think, that we experienced on today's call. We are closeting ourselves tomorrow with a staff formatting expert who will help us get all the various pieces parts together, clean things up so that there's a nice clean version. Our hope is that we will have something out to you all for review by close of business late tomorrow. And close of business, please accept, is a liberal term. Maybe that'll be close of business
10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, right, Pacific Daylight Time. But we will, so that working group members will have the document prior to your Friday call, and we would, particularly given the sensitivity that Seth and I have, having come into this so late in the process, would, you know, welcome. Please catch stuff where we have missed or don't. Still don't understand the concept that you all know in much more detail than we do, and we'll commit to very quickly being able to turn something back around if anyone has any other substantive comments during your call on Friday. We'll work to deliver something right back quickly, Carlton, if you guys experience any sections that need further work on Friday.
Okay, thank you, Seth. That's pretty much what the expectation that we have. We need to bring this to an end here, this official call. So if there are no more comments, can I then call this session to a close? And for those of you who are on the drafting call, could we spend an extra 10 minutes to the top of the hour? It shouldn't be more than 10 minutes. It's just for us to confirm in our heads that Seth and Rob get a sense of the comments, the substantive comments, and what we are asking for, especially in two sections that I think are very important here. So thank you all for showing up and keeping with us for this extra long session. I'm going to call this session officially closed, and please stay on the line for those of you who are part of the drafting call. Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Carlton, it's Olivier here. Will it help if I stick around?
Yes, of course I want you on, Olivier.
Okay, I'll stay there.
I especially want there are two issues. Seth, Rob, you there?
Yes, Carlton.
Alan, you there? Alan?
Sorry, was that Alan? If it was Alan, I'm here.
Oh, Alan, yes, you're there. Good. Cheryl, you there? I don't see her. Avery, you there? Avery?
Carlton, Cheryl is on mute.
Okay. Would you unmute her, please? And Rafiq, you're here.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And this is Carla.
Carla, you there?
Yes.
We have Carla, we have Seth, we have Rob, and we have Glenn and Gisela still on.
And Cheryl is unmuted.
Cheryl is unmuted. Olivier is unmuted. Evan, you there?
Evan is not on the call.
Oh, Evan is gone. All right. Can we go back?
Can I actually unmuted now? Can you actually hear me now?
Yes,
I can hear you. Fine, yes.
Oh, I'm delighted. Considering I'm wearing a headset, which means I can't mute or unmute, I don't know how I ended up being muted during the last part of the call.
Well, sorry, the screen showed that you were muted, Jill.
And I was muted. I was muted, Glenn. Yes. I was talking and no one was hearing.
So sorry. Okay, so Avery's on. Is she?
Avery has not yet joined. She's going to be dialing in.
Okay. All right, while Avery comes in, can I just start with Seth? Let's just get a sense of feedback from what you've had. I know, and Rob, I know you have your listening ears on, sir. Can you give us feedback to start as what it is that you understand we are asking for? especially the specific questions, and I'm making specific reference to the changes that in the summary, executive summary, and the areas for applicant support, as well as especially the two issues of the 69A and which concerns the bundling issue and the IPv6 issue later on.
Yeah, I'll speak first, and then Seth can clarify and correct all the mistakes I make. I think we're in really good shape and understand where you want to go on the various areas that you just discussed, Carlton. The two areas that I have concern about are the new Tijani text and the executive summary. The new Tijani text, with your blessing, what I would like to do is, because I did not have an opportunity to do this prior to the call, was as we make those changes, we'll do our best to go through and reflect where that new text may have changed, because he did a good job sort of summarizing the overall sections. But there are a couple of areas, as we went through today's call, where I went, gee, two bullets just became one. Or something else is missing here. And I want to go through that very carefully, because we had gone through the other draft several times, and I just want to make sure that we flag for all of you in the red line where there have been some other changes. Because you went through all that fairly quickly, and there's just a concern I have that we capture everything there. So that would be area one. The other is we really haven't had, until the end of this call, substantial comments about the executive summary. And that is still, in large part, it was left open because we knew there would be substantive changes to the text. And now that that's pretty much nailed down, we do need to go through that with a fine-tooth comb. And so that'll be an area, I think, that we would benefit from any initial comments any of you have right now on this call to say, wow, guys, you haven't made the change there. That's really off. Just cut B and C and leave A and D. That sort of comments right now, I think, would really help us to deliver a product in the next version that's much closer to where you expect it to be. And Seth, you can please clarify.
Thank you, Rob. Seth?
I totally agree, Rob, that we need help with the executive summary. And I guess this might be as good a time as any to just mention, Rob, what you and I were jabbering about briefly, and that is that Glenn and Gisela will need your help, and very much so, regarding the just confirming absolutely all the spellings of the work group members' names. The list that's there now is the one, Glenn, that you had sent us. Said this earlier, but if you could just go through that and give us any changes you'd like to make to the various stakeholder groups, et cetera, listed for each member that you sent, the spellings, and we'll also need help with the roll call, if you don't mind, that Carlton, that you were talking about earlier. I think that's everything. Rob, is that everything that we were jabbering quickly about?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Sir.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Seth. For my part, there's two things. I agree with you about the approach to the Tijani draft. It would be very important for you to do that. I would wish to not have a situation where, when we collapse paragraphs and so on, this is done. We miss anything, or we, by collapsing them, it might change the sense of what the objective was in the original. So it's a good thing for you to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Appreciate it. With respect to the executive summary, I just think the executive summary, and this is my own feeling on it, should as you started out, listing those elements that are in full or near full consensus, and then
don't mention too much the minority things. It's important to just do that and keep it going. That's my view on it. So anybody can jump in here.
Yes, Carlton.
Yes, Rafiq. Go ahead.
Okay, just maybe I didn't hear it, but just to would like to ask Seth and Rob if they will send the latest draft tomorrow, so they have more time, so they can check and review if they caught all comments, and they can check with different version. I understood there was different in many different calls, or even in the mailing with some substantive comments, so at least to allow a fair time to check all these comments, if we work through all of them, and if there is...
I have 20.
Yeah, sorry?
Go ahead, Rafiq, I'm sorry.
Okay, so just that kind of review, they will send to us, and hopefully we'll try for the type of formatting to do that in the mailing list, not to wait till the call. So we will encourage people to do that review in the mailing list, so we can we avoid wasting time, because formatting is or correcting of typos. And if there is topic, hopefully I hope that we didn't miss any topic. So in that case, we can allocate some time on the last call to fix that quickly. So hopefully we will end on Friday, but the work still. Yeah. Canton, I guess you are talking with someone else or something. Okay, I finish here.
I'm online.
Hello.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you, Rafiq.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just giving folks time to make comments. Any other comments? I am not in front of the Adobe, by the way.
I don't have a comment on that, Cheryl here, Carlton. I don't have a comment on that because I thought we kind of dealt with whatever Rafiq was just talking about in the end of the last call when we looked at the plan forward. But it has been changed slightly in as much as the drafters, Seth and Rob, have indicated they would be able to get us materials to review earlier than we said in the call. So if I may move on from that and get to what I thought was the topic of the follow-on call that we're involved with, which is looking at the particular drafting requirements and updating from particular issues raised in today's call to make sure that the people who are holding the pen on this report have a full and clear understanding. Rob asked, could we look to the executive summary? And I think it would be useful, seeing as the executive summary isn't particularly long, if we went through it from top to bottom and just made sure we had a shared understanding of what, if anything, need to be changed. For example, I could jump in now and say I have an issue with Part C of financial support based on today's call, but it would be better for us to work from the top to the bottom, in my totally biased view.
Thank you, Cheryl, but that's exactly what this is about. As I said, I started off by saying, you know, just giving my framework of what I would like to see the executive summary, but I surely expect other members to fill in the details. I will follow your lead on this.
Well, it's always a dangerous thing to give me the lead, you know, Carlton, but if that's the case...
I am perfectly happy falling behind you, Cheryl, not to worry.
If that's the case, then I would suggest going from the top to the bottom. The first part, the rider that says the JAS work group has reached full or near consensus on the following is in keeping with what you were saying, that what we focus on in the executive summary is those things that fit into that categorisation and nothing else. The rest of the sentence is simply explanatory unless someone disagrees. In terms of the first section, timing of support to be offered, page reference to be inserted, I see nothing that needs to be changed with the text that says a full array of financial and non-financial support to be offered for support-approved candidates should be available in the first and all subsequent rounds of new GTLD application. That's just bread and butter, what we're all about. I do have issues with some of the financial support, and so it might be the deferment one in particular. It might be worthwhile going through each of those one by one, unless there's anyone who sees other than Part C under A. I wanted to raise two things. I have issues with AA and AB and AC. That's just bad formatting as far as I'm concerned. So
yeah.
If we're going to use A, we need something else for the subparts of it. So
yeah.
A,
yeah.
Whatever else. So the third section, which currently labelled C under Part A, which says deferment of continuity instrument, would need to be reviewed based on today's discussion?
Yes.
So that just needs to be flagged and changed.
Yeah.
Then Part B is fine as far as I'm concerned, as is the following C, excepting I wondered why we had a decoupling of a foundation and the financial support. I may have missed that in a meeting that I was absent for one or two. I just wondered if someone could help me. I have no problem with it being decoupled. I just wondered why it was decoupled. Alan's got his hand up. Alan,
CND.
Help you understand.
You're talking about
I'm
CND
not looking
here.
At the words you're looking at, but in terms of the substance of what you just said, I think they have to be decoupled because they are decoupled. Right now we have a commitment of financial support, and we do not have a foundation in existence. So by definition, they are decoupled.
In which case, could I suggest that the order of them in a executive summary needs to be changed so that the financial support should be funded via various sources, including the USD $2 million allocated by the ACAN board, solicited third parties and auction revenues, should be higher than what is currently C, and it should be any foundation, not a foundation, but any foundation should
point,
be set
point
up.
Well taken.
Point well taken, and I would put it as B. I would put the financial support. Oh, sorry, Alan. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was going to say, conceivably, things could work so fast that the $2 million on the table today could be rolled into a foundation. Should that be legal?
Should.
But it may or may not, and we don't have control. So I think your point is well taken about the order.
Okay. All right. That's fine. And I know Olivier has his hand.
Hold 1 minute. Hold 1 minute, Cheryl. So, Rob, you understand the point that Cheryl just made?
Yes, sir. I mean, we need to reorder that whole section because, as you were about to suggest, support recipients payback should be the last item.
The last item, right?
Exactly right.
And you have financial support where support is then, and then you have the foundation, then you have support recipients, right? And you have to in A, you have to be 1, 2, or 3, whatever, you know. There's Roman numeral ones if to do it as Cheryl suggested, and the deferment we have to. We have to do the change of the deferment of the continuing instrument, and we can look at what was said earlier to make that work. Okay.
Yes.
Olivier, you're raising your hand, sir.
Thanks very much, Carlton. I was going to just warn everyone that we're rewriting at the moment the executive summary, not based on what is written in the main body of the report, and I hope that we're not going to end up with more discrepancies here. I would have thought that the order of the executive summary was going to follow the order of the report itself, because if we do believe that the order of the executive summary has to be changed one way or other, then it would also mean that the order of our clauses in the report would have to be changed. The way of thinking has to be the same in both.
Olivier, this is Rob. I mean, that's been a challenge we had sort of coming late on in the drafting process. If I had gone back and written the whole document in a different order, it might have played well. In some cases, I think things are slightly out of order, but that the executive summary, if we can put it in its most logical manner, given that three-quarters of the people aren't going to read beyond the executive summary, that we'll want to make sure that we have that as making as much sense logically as possible. But that's just my two cents.
But it's just I want to make sure that we have consistency between the executive summary and what's written behind. Because if we don't, we're going to end up with the same outbursts as what we had from Michele.
Yeah, I have a comment on that. It's Alan.
Alan, yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Olivier in principle. On the other hand, we have to be pragmatic at this point, and changing the order in the document itself may be much more than just moving two paragraphs. And I think Rob is right in that most people will not get past the executive summary, and I don't think there will be anyone who will read the main document without first reading the executive summary. So I think we need to be pragmatic at this point.
Thank you, Alan, because that's what I that's my sense, too, that, Olivia, it's not that I disagree with you in principle. It's just that it is more important to get the executive summary read logically. And I also am very much aware that making changes in the text may mean that you have to make more changes that kind of cascade from in an effort to make it follow. In the same sequence, it could create cascading changes that would just make it the work just more.
May I follow up on this, Carlton?
Yes, of course.
I think I might have put the emphasis on the wrong part of my sentence here. I'm putting the emphasis on the consistency between the text and the executive summary. And the concern I have at the moment is we are looking at the executive summary without looking at the text. We might just have to make sure that what is in the executive summary, no matter what order it is in, it has to be consistent with what is in the text.
Oh, most definitely, sir. Yes, I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Thanks.
Avery, you have your hand up?
Yeah. I just wanted to add, as someone who almost never reads executive summaries and always reads the documents first and maybe goes back to executive summaries, I just wanted to point out that if there's an executive summary, of course it has to be consistent, but I see absolutely no problem in changing around the order to give the executive summary an easy-to-read feel, because what's supposed to happen in the executive summary is supposed to be read it, and it's easy. So, yes, it has to be consistent, but changing the order of things, because it's not an introduction that's saying, in Section 1 we discuss, in Section 3 we discuss, in Section 7 we discuss. It's not doing that job. It's trying to give the executive, who doesn't have time to read material, an image of what's there. And so, yes, consistent, but any order it goes in that makes a good story and easy to read is what I'd recommend.
Thank you, Avery. Okay. I agree. You want to say something, Rafiq?
Just to confirm, I think that Avery was saying that this executive committee don't need to follow the order as it's in the body of the report, but just to highlight the main idea, so to help maybe board members to go straight to the the main recommendation that we are suggesting as working group, and that is more important. So, to guarantee that those recommendation to be present in the executive committee, whatever the order there.
Thank you, Rafiq. I'm glad you agree, sir. So we agree with Avery, and we agree with Olivier that it must be consistent with the content of the text, not just, it's not the order so much, but the content. And we agreed on that as well. Okay. So, Rob, you're good with that, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Cheryl, can we, since you're running with this one here, can you get the party started again, dear?
Sure, I can do my best. I was typing and multitasking, but let me see where I go. Okay, I'll have to go back up to the executive summary. I was just checking where we were in terms of actual order in the subsections and the sections, and it's not too disturbing from my point of view, that's for sure. Okay, that's financial support section. If we move to the secondly labelled or thirdly labelled, but in the right order, non-financial support section, I saw no reasons for change there, but let's go through them in order anyway. First one is A, the same formatting comment on not having AAs and ABs and ACs. Types of non-financial support should include support with prep of GTLD applications, deferred IPv6 and DNSSEC requirements. That needs to be changed. We've discussed that in today's meeting.
Yes.
And there is language to match that, so that section gets rewritten. It then goes to outreach and education efforts regarding new GTLD programs, followed by the next part, logistic translation and technical support. And the final section in this part is establishment of RSPs in regions where none or few exist. And the only thing I would suggest is we should not use a shorthand such as RSP without explaining it first, but in full text. But perhaps, you know, if we're using words DNSSEC and ALAC and GAC, we may as well just jump right into the acronyms anyway. And then the final part in non-financial support, section B, is ICANN should serve as a facilitator regarding this non-financial support, matching support-approved candidates with third-party donors. Open for comments. I thought I saw Carla's hand, or was that Rob's hand, go up for a while?
It was Olivier.
It was Olivier.
Yep.
Go ahead, Olivier.
Hello there. It wasn't my hand, actually. I've just put mine up now. So it was someone else. I was just going to say the first line, types of non-financial support should include, and because we have a defined list A to E, maybe should include but not be limited to, because we have said that later on in the report itself.
Yes. Good catch, Olivia. I saw that too.
Okay. Good.
That's it. Thank you.
Rob?
Thank you. Now I will put up my hand. I wanted to make sure that you were comfortable with this one in little B and little C now. B right now says deferred IPv6 or whatever. I broke it out into two things. I said B, facilitated IPv6 compliance. And then the next question is, how do you want to characterize DNSSEC? Do you want us to just pull it directly from the document? That would make the most sense. I just don't want to necessarily write deferred DNSSEC requirements. Is there a preference?
Can you give us the language from the document? Because, to be honest, I can't tell you I can remember every word of this report.
I'm very disappointed, Cheryl, but I will.
I'm sorry. I'm slipping and I'm on new medication, so, you know, it's taking me longer to do everything at the moment.
Actually, identified non-financial support as necessary includes education-DNSSEC implementation. So it doesn't say deferred there. It does say farther down deferred requirement of DNSSEC. So there are those two references. You'd all be happy with deferred DNSSEC requirements and education or something like that. I think that's the way we would go with that.
So we're still asking for... Oh, sorry, I raised my hand.
Say that again, Avery. We're not hearing good.
No, I stopped because I hadn't raised my hand and I realized I was being bad.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
So we're still asking for deferment of the DNSSEC requirement.
I'm not.
I can't recall having things a deferment at all.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I was asking about, because that didn't seem like something we had agreement, and I'm sure that we wouldn't have certainly.
Exactly.
What we did say that we would educate in DNSSEC implementation,
right. Okay,
definitely.
That's good. Yeah. Now, on all those things, people need help.
Yeah.
And assistance and code and who knows what. But
yes.
to ask.
That was what the substantive discussion was about. How do we get them prepared for that?
Because just so people know, that is one of the ones that immediately raises the security, stability, and security flag. I don't think it's valid. I have my own personal view of DNSSEC, and I think it's a terrible waste of time, and we'll hate it in 10 years. But that's beside the point. At the moment, the religion says that to reduce that in any way opens us up to all the bad people in the world. So, that raises all the red flags and immediately puts people in a position of discounting the whole piece of work.
Right. So Olivier's put in the thing. He says DNSSEC consulting. It's in that sense that we would do consulting and implementation, offer consulting for DNSSEC implementation. Rob, you have your hand up, sir. Is it from?
It is a new one. Thank you, sir.
New one. But you get the sense, Rob, that we are making we would differentiate the facilitation of IPv6, and we create a new sub for consulting on DNSSEC implementation, consulting service of DNSSEC, consulting and education services for DNSSEC implementation.
Yes, and I'm happy to do that. Just to clarify for all of you, DNSSEC is mentioned in two paragraphs and in two lists. In the first list, paragraph 45, subsection F, it's in a list of the working group has identified the following types of non-financial support as necessary for new GTLD applicants. And
which is what Olivier referred to and put in the chat on the Adobe Connect.
Rob, I think we've
Rob's
lost
gone?
You, Rob.
Rob's typing. He's gone. My line dropped,
he
says.
We've lost Rob.
Now I've done something silly here. In the absence of Rob, but when he gets back, I'm sure we can re-talk about it. I think what I'm seeing is what we meant to say in Part E of Paragraph 47, where the top part of the paragraph, 47, says the following are additional types of non-financial assistance that ICANN should strongly consider providing to new support candidates. And we talk about logistical assistance, technical help, legal and application filing support, awareness of a whole bunch of stuff. And then it says deferment requirement of DNSSEC. I think we were talking at least in my memory, we were suggesting that whilst it wouldn't be a blanket deferment of DNSSEC, that there could be consideration in particular or exceptional circumstances, and then we help them get to it anyway. But that's not what it's saying in the text. So the main body of the text does, with those words, deferment requirement of DNSSEC, say something rather different or rather more broad brush.
Broad brush than we expect, yes.
We had in mind when we're talking about, you know, strong considerations that ICANN may or may not make for new support candidates. Olivier's got his hand up.
Yes, Olivier.
Thanks, Carlton. And it's actually what I meant by consistency. Further down in Appendix 3, there's also, again, the deferment of DNSSEC that is mentioned. So we have to make sure we actually are on the same page whenever we deal with specific items which seem to be highly controversial. V6 and DNSSEC both are. We have to make sure the executive summary is going to be catching what we want, and maybe some of these other mentions of the term DNSSEC will have to be tightened up. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Yeah. This is a very good example of what you're saying in practical terms. I agree. I think what we can say here is that it's about the sense, my sense of what the working group said was that people would need help to implement DNSSEC And as part of the non-financial obligations, this working group was recommending consulting and educational help for support-approved candidates in implementing DNSSEC. That's what we're saying.
I think what we need to do is see, Cheryl here for the record, see the new language for a separate section talking about IPv6 and DNSSEC requirements in the executive summary. Robert already proposed breaking them down into a couple more sections, and if he's captured and Seth's captured the intent and picked up where we need to cross-check with the main text, I think this is something that we can probably look very closely at to make sure it does work when we see the next draft.
Yes, I am agreeing with that. Seth, you have your hand up?
Thank you, Carl.
You were following what Cheryl just said a while ago. That's exactly my sentiment, too.
Thank you, Carlton. Yes, I think that what I have from what everyone is saying is we could just change the IPv6 and DNSSEC section points to be facilitate IPv6 compliance, and then the separate the next bullet point we could have either facilitate DNSSEC implementation or a little longer language, consulting and education regarding DNSSEC implementation, and that would probably handle it. And then we can just check for consistencies throughout the document, of course. Would that basically do it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And Avery is showing he agrees. And Olivier is showing he agrees.
Yep.
And Cheryl says yes. And Alan... You still with us? Alan agrees. So we are good on that. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay. Cheryl?
Okay. The next section is the support... Whoop, I rolled too far. Support candidate eligibility requirements. And here... We had recent text proposals and changes into the main body of the text. So I have not taken the time to cross-check these specific words with what the intent is in the new text. But reading them in quick form now, they seem fairly generic, but those of you who look more closely at Tijani's text, certainly more closely than I have, need to listen very carefully to these. The first one is the specific support eligibility criteria should include, firstly, it'll be Roman numeral I, I assume, service to the public interest, and secondly, Roman numeral II, both a level of financial need and of financial capability. Let's discuss those before we move to the second part. I can't see anything other than them being fairly generic in motherhood, but is there anything else that anyone else sees? Seth, yes, go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I still have my hand up. I'll take it down, Cheryl.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on to Part B of this section, Support Candidate Eligibility Requirements, which is the criteria that disqualify a support candidate should include, firstly, application for a GTLD string explicitly related to a trademark, i.e. a dot brand, and B, identity as a government or parastatal institution. Now, we do need to perhaps think whether language change in the A is required out of today's meeting. And
yeah.
I would just we look to the transcript and record of today's meeting to get the appropriate words. But
that was provided by Evan in the transcript set, so if you look at the transcript, you see that.
And that's short enough, Carlton, I think, to just whack straight into the executive summary. Is there any issue with identity as a governmental or parastatal institution?
You know, that one is going to be a... You recall that the GAC has an interest here. And I personally, and this is just me now speaking, I don't wish to, you know, make anyone think that I am trying to brain anybody to change it here. But I personally think it would be useful for us to note the GAC's interest. I think it would be politically sensible. I don't know what other members think here. Would you not agree, think so, Cheryl?
I certainly would. I would be moving towards deletion of B, but that's just my bias. And I'm talking only B in this executive summary, but we have Avery and Alan, so let's see what they need to say. Avery, go ahead.
Okay, first on A, I know I had submitted a string. I'd be curious to hear what eventually Evan produced out of it. I don't see it in the chat, so I'm just curious to know what it turned into. On B, I agree that it's politic to mention the GAC's request. I think we should still say, however, no, you know, not on this round. And you know, but if...
Okay, that's a good segue. Not on this round.
Right, but if there is a strong support or even a near consensus for including it, count me among those who some support for still saying no.
Okay. But Avery, you gave us a way, I think, that members might wish to consider. We can note the GAC's interest and say we didn't sign it. It was support, at least not in this round, so we qualify. Get out of it the other way. Alan, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, on the dot brand, I'm not convinced that Evan's words will fully address my concern, but I'm willing to wait until I see what shows up in the report and then pass judgment on whatever words are there. In terms of the GAC statement and the ALAC statement, implicitly, that we should allow non-national governments to participate, I don't think we can ignore the issue because we are cognizant of that statement and we mentioned it several other places in the report. Mm-hmm. So we can't ignore it. On the other hand, at least on any calls I've been on, and I haven't missed too many, I don't believe we ever talked about it.
Well, we did, you know. We talked about the submission.
Carlton, let me finish. I didn't say we didn't. I said on the calls that I was on, we didn't. At least I don't believe I did unless I slept through it. If it was discussed, then whatever we decided should be reflected in the report, whether it's agreement with the GAC-ALEC statement or disagreement with it. But I don't think we can gloss over it and pretend the statement wasn't made. So we have to do some adjustment to that. If we did discuss it and there was closure, we should reflect whatever was discussed. If we discussed it but let it drift and never came to closure, I think we need a quick decision.
I don't see it needs to be in the executive summary.
I'm not worried about the executive summary as much as I am in the content. But if we come to something definitive, it should be reflected in the executive summary. I just don't know which way the conversation actually went, assuming it was had.
Two things. I don't think we're going to get to anything definitive between now and Friday because there's just not the ability to do that. And I think the concept of not in this round is a good way of getting back to the issue that the GAC said it would be more productive in giving us information and discussion and interacting with us on this particular topic, and they have not. So, sorry, the bus has left the station.
Yeah, I think a valid way of addressing it is saying the group could not come to any closure on this, and we are putting it aside for this round.
In which case, that gets said in the text.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be mentioned in the executive summary because they're talking about consensus and near consensus.
No argument on that. I was just asking the question of if it was discussed, what did we decide at that point? Maybe that can give us some guidance.
Okay, well, can we flag that for Friday, Carlton, to make sure we just cover that off when we're looking at the new text and ensure that there is appropriate wording in the parts where we mention this? And
I agree with you. And Rob said, would you just so note it for me? Let me tell you what my recollection is, Cheryl, and probably we had spent quite some time trying to get definitive wording from the GAC.
It was pre-San Francisco and San Francisco, pre and post-San Francisco, yes.
Yeah, about this specific thing. You know, because you were part of that.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't. And Evan was sorely upset that we were trying to carry this thing forward because of the statement that we made and seeing. But as far as it goes, we know what the ALAC sentiment is on this.
I mean, we know what the statement was quite clear. It said we should allow all governments except for national governments.
Right. What we have not, in all of the discussion, Alan, the GNSO people mostly disagreed. And Avery herself has pointed out what her, and I'm not saying Avery's GNSO, but I'm talking about her specifically, who's been very much involved in the process, was consistent in her opposition to that.
Then let's say we couldn't come to closure on this and leave it for the moment.
Thank you. So my recommendation was that in the text, in the body of the text, we reference the GAC and ALAC statements and explicitly state that they are in favor, that these areas of the community are in favor of allowing except for national governments, but the work group itself could not come to consensus on it. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be a statement worthy of discussion in the work group on Friday.
Yes, this is what I mean.
Because right now we're looking at the executive summary, but yes, we need to flag it for discussion on Friday.
Can we have discussion on the mailing list sooner than Friday? So
in between times, Avery, that'd be great.
Yes, yes. We can pull it out. As a matter of fact, we're going to try to pull it out and send it through.
I think these open issues that, you know, we said, let's talk about Friday. I know this group is not great at discussing things on the mailing list, but at least try one email thread per issue and see what we can get. At least each of us will comment.
Thank you, Avery. We'll send it out as a current issue. And we would send some text that we think is representative of what we intend, and then ask for feedback.
Thing.
How about that?
And do your normal thing of saying, and if you object, suggest alternate text.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So we are good on that.
Next section is support evaluation on process SEP.
Cheryl, excuse me one second. I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask. So, is everyone in agreement that you'd like to remove though Part B from the executive summary? However,
well, hell yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Remove Part B. Sorry about that, Seth. Remove Part B from executive summary, but in the body, in the content, we will have a different statement, and we have to construct it. We will get the candidate statement out. The candidate statement should say something like, "The GAC and the ALAC have openly stated their
yes.
agreement with having government entities other than national governments be eligible for support.
And there's terms like municipal and public-private partnerships and all those sorts of things. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is it. And so here's the text of what we would need to put in the content in this place. If you disagree with it, provide some alternative text. But
right.
This is what it is.
You happy, Seth?
Yes, thank you. Thank
good.
You,
put your hand down. Right. Support evaluation process.
Excuse me, it's Alan. If I may intervene, I really have to go at this point. And I'm already late for something, so...
Thanks, Alan.
Try it.
Thank you, Alan. I'm actually late, but I really want to finish this.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I have to leave at this point. If there's anything that you want input from me on whatever you're going to be discussing in the next few minutes, send me an explicit email. I'll try to respond. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Thanks very much for help.
I'm very keen to push to the finish of this executive summary because it is coming up to 1:45 in the morning, and I would really like to not be sitting in my lounge room in a darkened house.
Go right ahead, Cheryl. I'd still follow your lead on this. Go ahead.
Part A. The SEP should take place before the standard GTLD application review. Contentious?
No.
I think not.
No.
Part B. Each support application should be evaluated by a support application review panel, the SARP, and then the sections which will be changed in format to not be A and B say, firstly, the SARP should be composed of volunteers from the ICANN community and outside experts, both volunteer and contracted, all with knowledge of the existing new GTLD processes, potential gaming patterns, with a footnote, and general needs and capabilities of support candidates from developing economies. Let's stop there for a moment. Do we need to look at the words both volunteer on and contracted, and is that now a proper reflection of what we discussed and agreed in today's call? Because we discussed in today's call quite clearly that SARP would be volunteers.
Volunteer, right.
And
but
they can...
would call an outside expert.
Yeah. So yeah. I think we probably do need to edit that text now because it would indicate that the SARP itself could have both contract and volunteers in it as opposed to the SARP being a volunteer group.
All volunteer, even the outside experts
volunteer.
Are volunteer, but you can have contracted outside experts.
But that's not what that sentence says.
That's not what it says, no, and I'm suggesting that the sentence must be changed to reflect that.
Okay, I heard Avery's voice. Go ahead,
yeah,
Avery.
I guess during the half hour of the call I missed, you guys took the contracted experts out of the SARP. We had a long conversation about why that was needed. And so what, today you decided that they weren't needed any longer?
No,
they were needed, but that they were
not members of the SARP because we had
that they weren't SARP per se.
They were not voting.
Okay, I disagree, but cool. So I guess you don't have full consensus, you just have partial consensus on that.
Okay.
Because now there had been quite good long discussions and good reasons for why the whole continuity, the whole volunteer burnout, the whole thing, that there would be one quarter of them would be contracted experts a la RCEP. And that had been sort of the thing. So I don't quite understand why that was taken out. But in any case, the sentence is redundant here. Even if we were allowing for volunteers and outside experts, you didn't need the second phrase. You could have just had outside contracted experts. But, of course, if you haven't included them, then tough. But you could just exclude the parenthetical phrase, and you're covered. I just,
yeah.
That's too bad. Guess that was
okay, so if we just remove the both volunteer and contracted... that fixes that. I guess we could probably note... in the body of the text in this section,
right,
that it is a point where there is only some consensus, not full or
right.
near consensus.
Right. And suggest in the footnote what the alternate
I mean,
suggestion was.
All right. I had originally been one of those for full volunteer, but was convinced by Alan and others that having some contracted members was a good idea. I'm really surprised that Alan has now shifted his position.
Yeah, what actually came up, Avery, was that whether or not they should be the voting members, and the agreement was that you could have outside experts, but even you could have experts that were contracted, but experts who were part of the voting membership should be volunteers as well.
That also brings us to Part B, which specifies exactly what Avery was saying, that the SARP's voting volunteers should consist of one quarter at-large members, one quarter GNSO members, one quarter from ICANN's other SONACs, and one quarter contracted outside experts. So we have a total disconnect of what is currently in the executive summary and what is on the table as the current text in the main body.
Yes.
So I think you would remove B from the executive summary and you would add to the body of the text, there is some support for a setup that includes, and then you include the rest of the paragraph.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So play with B and whack it down as a as an alternate. And I'd be very happy with that alternate. I actually think there's a good reason to have some contracted outside experts in there as well. Seth, you have your hand up, and Olivia agrees. Seth, go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yes, I was just going to say that in addition to what everyone is saying, I also, it's just an error that the footnote has remained from the actual text in the executive summary. Would it be all right if we take the footnote out, given that it's an executive summary?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Carlton.
Okay. Right, so there's a little work to do there, and we look forward to discussing on Friday with that.
Will remain in the body of the text, not just the executive summary, correct?
Correct.
Yes, it will remain in the body of the text, but not in the executive summary.
Right. Just wanted to confirm. Thank you.
Because we've already agreed, Avery, that executive summary should only be focused on
forewarning
consensus.
I just wanted to make sure.
Hey,
yeah.
Not a problem. You're talking to me. I'm a fellow pedant. Okay, now, C, when the SARP rejects a support candidate, it should explain its reasons. The support candidate may then work to improve its application or apply for a GTLD without support. Is that anything other than a no-brainer?
One question I've got here is, if it works to improve its application, there's an implication that they can reapply.
For yeah.
So that is probably what's important. The or apply for GTLD without support is the no-brainer. But the implication of improve application means they can come back.
So you want to have a phrase there that says, and reapply?
If that's consistent with what we said in the body.
Yeah.
Or it should be consistent with what we said.
Yeah.
Can we just make sure that it is consistent with what we said in the body of the text? So perhaps Seth could make a note on that just cross-check on that.
Yes,
I love the next one.
When the SARP accepts a support candidate, it should still be required to pay the USD $5,000 GTLD application deposit.
So that's the SARP's going to pay it, right?
That's fascinating, because I want to know who's going to fund the SARP, because that's how that sentence reads, Avery. You're right.
No, it's not the SARP.
Well, that's how the sentence reads.
it does say that, but it's not the SARP. It's a support applicant candidate. It's still be liable for the $5,000.
And in fact, that's one of the points of contention we had, because some of us believe that they should pay the $5,000 before the SARP considers them and get it back if rejected, but anyway.
Yeah.
Avery,
does that add anything by being there?
No, I was about to ask a question because, quite frankly, I think we had agreed that the $5,000 would be paid before they are considered anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I don't think that here
makes sense. Ditched.
Well, you may want a D then to be consistent, says support applicants, support candidates are still liable for paying the 5,000 GTLD TAS application deposit.
Deposit, yes.
And just have that in there so that statement is made as a flat statement.
Yep.
And
okay. I could agree with that.
But not with the when the staff accepts a support candidate.
No. Take out that piece.
Yep. Okay, so support candidates are still required. To pay the USD 5,000 GTLD application deposit.
Right.
Then the final part is the ICANN staff should produce a candidate support guide.
I think it says they will produce one.
My only question is, why is it now a candidate support guide instead of a support candidate guide?
Support candidate guides.
Support candidate for the rest of the document.
Yes, support candidate. You're quite right. And it should be capitalized, support.
Yep.
Candidate.
Yep, that's right. Mr. Chairman, is there any good reason why... hang on, let's ask Seth first. What did you want? Why are you waving at me, Seth?
I'm waving at you because I can't ever seem to remember to take my hand down.
Mr. Chairman, is there any good reason why we should go further tonight? Because this is the longest 10 minutes I've ever had.
No, this is the end of it. Thank you so much. I want to get you to bed before 3 o'clock.
Darling, I'd like to get you to bed before 3 o'clock as well.
So thank you. I think I'm happy that we've got to this place. And thank you so much, Cheryl, for, as usual, your indomitable spirit in getting us this through here. It really helps when somebody else does it a little differently, you know. Olivier, are you happy with this, sir?
I am indeed, yes.
Okay,
great.
Thank you. Avery?
It's good. Thanks very much.
Me? Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Okay.
Well, you must
and
stop that.
Rafik has gone. He's gone to bed. It says very late, so I understand. He's gone to bed. So Alan is gone as well. Seth and Rob. Seth, you have your hand up.
No, he doesn't. He just can't put it down.
Actually, this time I actually do, Cheryl. Sorry, just for one second. I don't think it's something you want to pick up now, but if anyone would like to think about the smaller matter that it might be useful to have a one-page executive summary. If there's anything that very easily you think is not important enough that's on there now that we could just simply hack off, we would be happy to do that, and we could bring that up on Friday.
Yeah, there's only two or three things that we have already said we will just get rid of. But if you can come up with something else, just run it by us. We'll see.
Okay. Thank you, Carlton.
All right. So we need to get going here. Thank you, everybody, for participating here. I think we've made the grade. Thank you, Cheryl, for helping out.
Okay.
Thank you, Avery. Thank you, Olivier, for sticking through. Rob, Glenn, Seth, Carla, and Gisela. And thank you all for supporting us. We will see you on Friday.
Bye-bye.
And on list before.
Bye-bye. Not list before.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Carl.